Hello, you are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. It was on this date in 1986 that President Ronald Reagan and his wife Nancy appeared together on radio and television to appeal for a national crusade against drug abuse. And I thought this would be as good a time as any to come on and talk just a little bit about the war on drugs in America and maybe a little bit of America's drug use history as well. Hemp in particular has been a rich part of American history, mostly because of its use in rope making, but back in colonial days, the British Crown actually required the American colonies to grow hemp. But yes, the war on drugs, or what we call the war on drugs, is a movement that was largely started in the 1970s by Richard Nixon and is still evolving even today. Over the years, people have had very mixed reactions to the campaign, and a lot of the aspects of the war on drugs do seem to be more so politically motivated than interested in the general safety or health of the nation. But yes, drug use for medicinal and recreational purposes has been happening in the United States since the beginning of the country back in the colonial days. And as far back as 1890, we actually saw recreational drug use reaching a market. In the popular Sears and Roebuck catalogs, they actually had offers for syringes and small amounts of cocaine listed at that time for about $1.50, which in today's money would be worth between $40 and $200. In some states, laws to ban or regulate drugs were passed in the 1800s, and the first congressional act to levy taxes on specifically morphine and opium, which, keep in mind, the opium wars, which wrapped up in the 1860s, would still be fresh on everyone's minds. The Smoking Opium Exclusion Act in 1909 banned possession, importation, and use of opium for smoking. However, opium could still be used in medication. This was the first federal law to ban the non-medical use of the substance. This is why a lot of times when you think of old, like, say, cough syrup medicines, they would contain opium. It wasn't because there was a strong belief at the time that opium was the cure-all for coughs and colds. It was more so that people wanted to recreationally do opium, and this was the easiest way to provide them a market. In 1914, Congress passed the Harrison Act, which regulated and taxed the production, importation, and distribution of opiates and cocaine. Shortly after this, of course, alcohol prohibition laws followed. In 1919, the 18th Amendment was ratified, which banned the manufacture, transportation, and sale of intoxicating liquors and ushered in what we now call the Prohibition Era. Alcohol at that time accurately being seen as the nation's most dangerous drug, which it does actually still remain to this day. It's actually kind of interesting to consider, but our nation did actually make alcohol illegal before it ever made marijuana illegal. But in 1937, the Marijuana Tax Act, which was the first federal law that placed any type of restriction on marijuana, the law did not outright criminalize the possession or use of marijuana, but it did include hefty penalties if taxes weren't paid on it, including a fine of up to $2,000 and 5 years in prison. If we flash forward just a little bit to President Richard Nixon signing the Controlled Substances Act into law in the 1970s, that's where we start to see what we now call the war on drugs start to roll out. The CSA outlines 5 schedules used to classify drugs based on their medical application and their potential for abuse. Schedule 1 drugs were considered the most dangerous as they supposedly contained a very high risk for addiction with little evidence of medical benefits. This is where we saw marijuana, LSD, heroin, MDMA, and other drugs included on that list of Schedule 1 drugs, things we usually call illicit drugs nowadays. Substances considered least likely to be addictive, such as things with codeine in them, fell into the Schedule 5 category. Now, in the 1970s, Nixon did officially declare a war on drugs, stating that drug use was public enemy number one, and this was a popular thought of the time, most likely related to the rise in recreational drug use in the 1960s. According to a 1969 Gallup poll, about 48% of Americans thought drugs were a serious problem of the time. And looking at it now, it is very likely that most of these laws were passed as political moves, with public health and safety placed as afterthoughts. Nixon's war on drugs saw the creation of the Drug Enforcement Administration in 1973. This agency is responsible to this day for tackling drug use and smuggling into the United States. Back then, the DEA was given 1,400 special agents with a budget of less than $75 million. Today, the agency has nearly 5,000 agents and a budget closer to $2 billion. Now, if you maybe took a bit of exception to me saying that Nixon's war on drugs was mostly a politically motivated campaign. I actually get that from Nixon's domestic policy chief, John Urkelman, who provided some insider information in 1994 that the war on drugs campaign had ulterior motives, which mainly involved helping President Nixon retain the presidency. In an interview, John Urkelman said that Nixon's campaign had two major enemies, the anti-war left and black people. He was quoted as saying, "We knew we couldn't make it illegal to be either against the war or black, but by getting the public to associate hippies with marijuana and blacks with heroin, and then criminalizing both heavily, we could disrupt these communities. We could arrest their leaders, raid their homes, break up their meetings, and vilify them night after night on the evening news. Did we know we were lying about the drugs? Of course we did." In the mid-1970s, the war on drugs took a slight hiatus. Between 1973 and 1977, 11 states decriminalized marijuana possession. This is most likely because of Jimmy Carter and his campaigning. He became president in 1977 after running on a political campaign to decriminalize marijuana. During his first year in office, the Senate Judiciary Committee voted to decriminalize up to 1 ounce of marijuana. Flash forward again to the 1980s, and we see President Ronald Reagan reinforce and expand on many of Nixon's war on drug policies. In 1984, his wife, Nancy Reagan, launched the Just Say No campaign, which was an effort to educate children on the dangers of drug use. President Reagan's refocus on drugs led to a significant increase in incarcerations for nonviolent drug crimes. In 1986, Congress passed the Anti-Drug Abuse Act, which established mandatory minimum prison sentences for certain drug offenses. This law was later heavily criticized as having racist ramifications because it allocated longer prison sentences for offenses involving the same amount of crack cocaine, which was more often used by black Americans, as powder cocaine, more often used by white Americans. And if you ask me, this is probably Reagan's second biggest failing, right behind the Iran-Contra affair. Recent decades have seen waning public support for the war on drugs. Some Americans and policymakers feel the campaign has been ineffective or has at least led to a racial divide on the matter. However, others are still passionate about supporting the war on drugs. In 2010, Congress passed the Fair Sentencing Act, which reduced the discrepancy between crack and powder cocaine offenses from 100 to 1 to 18 to 1. And the recent legalization of marijuana in several states, as well as the District of Columbia, has also led to more tolerant political views on recreational drug use. Technically, the war on drugs is still being fought, but with much less intensity than during its inception. Well, thank you for joining me. This has been a brief history on the war on drugs. Remember, if you like these little history segments that I do, you can find them online at kggfradio.com. Just click on the On Demand tab and go down to one of the history segments that looks interesting to you. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.